Life here is grand. again, we come to you thanking you for the many blessings of this life that you've given us. Especially thanking you for the love that you have for us, sending your only Son into this world, that he might die and make cruel profit, that we have the hope of being with you someday in heaven. We pray for those that was mentioned here this day, Lord, and for our many friends and loved ones who have come down with this terrible pandemic that we have at this day and time. We pray that it will soon become a history and will not be back with us anymore. We pray that it will leave many friends and loved ones who are here with us, that we may still have a life that we can enjoy as we have before. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us, and we pray for the people who look after us, like the police and our soldiers and our many leaders of this nation, that you will give them the wisdom and knowledge that they may be able to do their job in a manner that be pleasing to you. We also pray, Lord, that you be with us and bless us and keep us safe. And when this life here on this earth is over, that we may have a home with you in heaven. Be there with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated.
Yes, sir.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 337. 337. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. Rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Our reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table this morning, let's be mindful of the great sacrifice that was made for us. Father, that this bread represents that broken body that hung on a cross for us. As we partake of it, we need to do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this fruit of vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Again, as we partake of it, we need to do so in a manner that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord's Supper being completed, we have an opportunity to give back at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all that you bless us with each and every day. And Father, we're grateful that we can give back. And just thank you so much for your love and kindness for us. And as we give back, we pray that we'll...
We have 19 present this morning. Today is December 20th, 2020 for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 685. 685 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 593. 593. To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that the Master has trod. With the palm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands ought to do.
The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is not limited to just a certain period of time of the year for our thinking. In the pages of the Bible, we do not have the exact dating and time of Jesus' arrival here on earth, excepting the fact that He arrived here according to the plan of God Almighty, His Heavenly Father. Paul writes regarding this matter in Galatians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ came, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And the idea that He came in the fullness of time in order to do that. The fullness of time is illustrated to the brethren of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that they are the perfect people, the complete people, the mature people, who have this message of God delivered to them for salvation, and they have this hope of the Lord for them as they live. And as a result, they are really complimented in regard to their spirit-walking way of life instead of the carnal way of life. If they by the flesh walk only to serve the flesh and please the flesh and so forth, they are not pleasing to God. But if they find themselves mental-wise, thinking of the Spirit of God within and the guidance of the Spirit of God, then they have that spiritual walk of life that they are practicing. the things that they say, the things that they do. They're doing that spiritual walk of life, and God blesses them in that regard as they do it. In the book of Luke chapter 4, we have Jesus following his time of being baptized of John. And in regard to this matter, his baptism by John was brought about as John was in east of Jordan, in the Jordan River, in the river. And as a result of his being baptized with John, he comes to this particular time where he is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It says in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted the devil. In those days he did not eat anything. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it should be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they shall bear him up, lest at any time he should dash his foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus, returning in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." I want to stop at verse 16 of Luke chapter 4 and make these remarks that the devil tempted Jesus in the same way that he tempted Eve and Adam in the book of Genesis. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He sought to challenge him in regard to this bread that he was hungry and needed to eat. And you can make out of stone bread to eat. And Jesus said, man lives more by things of God than he does by the bread alone. You do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. In regard to this, he took him up to a high mountain and showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world. The various kingdoms that were there in Egypt, the various kingdoms of the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians and all, were their vision. He said, all of these I have as a charge of me. I'm given to have this power over them. And by way of temptations and trials and sinful ways of life, the devil has that kind of power to work in the hearts of men in the ways of the world. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because it is written, again citing from the book of Deuteronomy, vivid detail in regard to this, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This is the idea that God had in mind. He wanted us to spiritually be thinking about him and not do the things that are of the world. And although it would be a nice worldly thing to have this gift of all these nations which would never come to him otherwise, Jesus turned it down because the the Word of God tells him differently. This is to serve God. Jesus was then tried by the devil by way of his vain glory of life. Takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple. And there tells him to cast himself down. Because, as the scripture says, it is written. He quoted scripture to him, citing this scripture to him out of Psalm 91, verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee, lest you dash one foot against a stone down there. It was a good drop to be there, at least 80-something feet of time. And there would be a great deal of urgency for him to land in such a way that he wouldn't break a foot, break a leg, break his back. That would be a terrible thing. And he offered him this idea that they will bear you up if you do this. And Jesus said, but you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's not to be done. In order to try him and challenge him, that's not to be done. Thus he was in this particular position where he had announced to the devil, you know who I am. You know what I represent. I represent the cause of the Heavenly Father. And this is the right thing to do, honor his word and his will, not against each other, but as it is written. So Jesus resisted the temptation. He returned in the power of the Spirit of God into Galilee, which is the northern region. And in that northern region, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as it was on the Sabbath day, the time for them to go. And so he went to this local area. There was many as 6,000 of these synagogues in that land during those days and times. They wanted to have local congregations, so to speak. Much like the problems that we had regarding the rivers and travel in earlier days, where there would be a congregation a few miles away from us and a few miles away from that and a few miles away from that. There would be a number of congregations within a county area in our state. We would find that not to be something that we desired all in the long run, but maybe it was. Families were there, a lot of people were there, and a lot of large congregations were made up of those things and people coming in. And thus the synagogue was here, and as they didn't have far to walk and far to go, they could meet in the synagogue. The scrolls were there, copied, and made available to them. And so as the scrolls of the prophets were made available to them, there was one who was to read from the prophets on that given Sabbath day. Now the historians tell us that there was also a chair, a special chair that was there that was covered in velvet, and that it was a special chair. It was for the Messiah, the deliverer, when he came. That's what historians tell us about. But whether it was that or not, Jesus had a certain place that he went down to sit after he read these scriptures. And so Jesus took the scroll, opening the scroll, he read from those languages, and he said, Father, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book of the scroll, and he gave it again to the minister or the one who had handed him that scroll, responsible for the safekeeping of the scrolls in that synagogue, and sat down. And the eyes of them of the synagogue were fastened on him. Luke 4 and verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Where was he? He was in Nazareth. What is the meaning of the word Nazareth? Branch. Since he was declared a prophet of the Old Testament to be the branch of God who would offer deliverance and hope to people, he was the branch who was in the city of the branch. And by the people there observing him so intently that he read this scripture saying, "The Lord has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to be sent to the healed, the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord." They just couldn't believe that here was a man who was a builder among them, a carpenter, and of his father Joseph, the carpenter in the area, and that he built houses and he built things for people. And he was just a common laborer. And he's reading this and applying it to himself. They had a little while of hearing this, but they didn't believe this. They were really, really dumbstruck by his reading this out of the book of Isaiah when he was there with them. And all bear witness, verse 22, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb." We understand from the historians, and Josephus mentions this, that it was a common thing for them going to the synagogue would say unto those who spoke to them, if they spoke to them hard things to do, hard things to practice, that they would say to him, "Do you not preach to yourself first? Do you not preach to yourself? Physician, heal thyself first." And when he said this, Jesus said, "No prophet is without honor except in his own country." And he began at verse 25 to talk about various things that had been done by the prophets. Elijah was one of them, whom they highly respected. They highly loved him because of what he had done, how he had set at variance problems that probably people had. And so they were really, really serious about him. And Jesus quoted from him, noting, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there was great famine throughout the land. But none of them, but Elias himself, unto Zarephath, to the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Notice that the prophet of God, by being sent to her, asked of her food to eat and liquid to drink. And she appealed to him to realize that this was all that they had. And she and her son were talking about the fact that they would simply eat this and die. They would not have any more. But he insisted of her that she feed him. And she never ran out of food for them to eat. She didn't run out. God was there with him, with her service to him. And he was not one of those physicians, heal thyself, so much as it was the case that he could do what he said he could do. Jesus could preach the gospel to the poor. He could heal the brokenhearted. He could preach deliverance to the captives. He could recover the sight to the blind. He could set at liberty those that are bruised. And he did the preaching of the acceptable year of the Lord. He could do it. And what did they, how did they react to him? We'll read just in a minute. They got madder and madder at him as he cited that example of Elijah and of his being at the widow's house and this blessing that came to her for helping him. They perceived that Jesus was speaking about himself, telling the truth, telling the things that he said were true. And they were not about to feed him, and they were not about to clothe him, they were not about to help him in any way, and they were getting madder and madder as he gave them this example. This wasn't the only example. He says in verse 27 of Luke 4, "And lepers, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Naaman was a leper, but he wasn't even of the Jews. He was a Syrian. But it was the case that he was told what to do: go and dip thyself 7 times in the river Jordan, and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. And when he said this to him, he went away in a rage. He was mad. They were well aware of the story. But when his little maiden said to him, "If this prophet of God who's told you the truth, if you go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, you'll have new flesh. You won't have the leprosy to kill you. You won't have the leprosy to harm you." He finally was reasoning with her when she said, "If he had asked of you some great sum of money, would you not have paid it? To heal, be healed from a leprosy, oh man, he would have paid any amount that he had available and borrowed the rest that he could pay him. If it was just money involved in the matter, he would be ready to get it." But the prophet said to him, "Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cleansed." They knew the rest of the story. They knew that he went just on a trial. He went there. He was mad at him to begin with. He thought the rivers of the Abana and the Pharpar were much cleaner than the muddy old Jordan River. But here he could go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and he'd be cleansed. And he finally said he would. So he did. And they knew the rest of the story was that his flesh came on him again as a newborn child. That the leprosy was gone. That he was mended from his leprosy. The death that would be his would not be his of leprosy. This was the truth. This was the way of reasoning. It is said in verse number 28. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these sayings, were filled with wrath." That's a more modern word, for they were mad as they could be. They couldn't believe he talked to them like this. They were mad. "And rose up and thrust him out of the city." They rose up and they said, "Listen, we're going to take you out of the synagogue. You're not worthy to be here." And they didn't stop there. They walked on down the lane and they walked on out of the way into the edge of the boundary for that city, and they cast him out. They said, "Listen, you don't come back here and you don't tell these kind of things anymore." Led into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And what did Jesus do? He simply vanished among them as they moved along. And he was not there in their hands to cast off the mountainside. He, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know that who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had been thrown out and thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake unto themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went into every place of the country round about. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife, mother, was taken of a great fever. And they besought him for her. "Would you do something? Could you do something to her?" He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and began to minister unto them. She arose and said, "What are y'all doing in my kitchen? Get on out. Let me do this work." And there she went. She had been so sick unto death. Can you do something? Jesus could do something. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Son of Emmanuel." Oh, what a blessing. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that means that they delayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. It came to pass that as the people pressed him upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and saw two ships standing in the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, and which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust over a little, out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let your nets down for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Who was Jesus? The devils knew, "Thou art the Son of the Holy One of God." He had told them by his process in that synagogue, "I have come to God has anointed me. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. I've come to recover sight to the blind and set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is the acceptable year. It's the time of right and good and the truth that's to be taught. And he closed the scroll. He handed it back to the attendant to put in the proper place so that it could be read another day in time, be safekeeping in that synagogue. And he went over, and if there was a velvet chair that was there, which represented the Messiah when he's come, will have the seat. They were sitting on the ground in that day and time, very likely. And Jesus sat down at that seat. And they were as mad as they could be at what he had said, and madder yet that he sat down in the Messiah's seat. For they did not believe he was the Messiah. They did not believe he was the deliverer. They did not believe the branch that he represented. When we talk about these things, we're talking about God's Son who came. And he came for the purpose of giving us help and giving us hope, spiritually speaking. And if we today can be spiritually minded as we think of evil to do, a prayer being said rather than do the evil, rather than say the evil, a prayer being offered. Be spiritually minded. God will bless the life that you live and bless the deeds that you do. And there's no telling what good influence you'll have and what wonderful blessings will come to the household of God for your work and your labor in the Lord. They were so mad they were going to cast him off and kill him. Then, that was not the way that God had planned that he would be rejected and ultimately die. And later, when Paul wrote regarding he died the death, even the death of the cross, it was such more terrible than being cast off a mountainside and die as a result of that. It was so terrible. But Jesus went through it. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, his body held our sins. And his blood cleansed our sins. And as we chose to be baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6, we were thereby met by the blood of Christ, spiritually speaking. And we were raised up to walk in a newness of life. That's the hope of the soul that you and I have. And it's a wonderful blessing that we're speaking about today when Jesus came. And here in Luke 4, he announced himself to be who he was. The Son of God had come to deliver. And he was able to do it. He's the only one that's been able to do it. And the only one that's been able to help us. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come and obey him today as we stand together and as we sing.
I wander away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming.
thanks for your good listening today and a real wonderful lesson, more wonderful than I could ever say it, as to what Jesus did for us. God bless you, everyone. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 if possible. And remember that Tuesday night's a Bible study time. Maybe that's a better night for some. And you'll enjoy the studies that are being done. And our back here is warm today. It's got a new control panel upstairs that warms up the back. So the 74 were back there. And we enjoyed very much that warmth this morning when we came in. It's good times. Look forward to seeing you this evening and Tuesday night at 7. And next Lord's Day as well. Thank you.
Let everybody know, gather their cards.
The cards are there and they'll be put together this afternoon and put into your name sack.
The girls have already separated them. They're not here. They're separating the names and as you go out.
Okay. Good. Well, ladies, thank y'all for doing that. Great. You can pick up today as right, your name is out. Good. But what's left over, I'll put in the sack.
Let's turn to number 276. 276.
Jesus is all the world to me.
I want to draw my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other can me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad, he's my friend.
Heavenly Father, keep them out of harm's way. Pray that you'll be with us as we leave here today and keep